And now Perek Mem Beis. No.
About what Moshe Rabbeinu was answering, or it was spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu to the Shtadel Batal Aboyev.
Ah.
And here we are talking about going to the king.
You're asking before in the higher level of love, he spoke Bradish Tadel Basad Avivim like a child who sacrifices himself for his father and mother. But over there, he's talking about it on a whole other level of sacrifice. Over there, he's describing the level where the Jew is interested in uniting Kutcha Brichu and Shchinte, where he's not even seeking his own connection. He's not seeking that his father should have pleasure from me returning to my father. The child wants the father should have pleasure from Kutcha Brichu being united with Shchinte. That's a deeper level. Yeah. Okay, now, chapter 42, Perek Mem Beis, is a unique chapter in Tanya. It's unique, as you will all see, in its visible accessibility to each and every human being, in its faith in the Alter Rebbe's, in the faith the Alter Rebbe displays in a Jew, and the way he deals with the failures, the weaknesses of a human being, and man's very difficult attempt to make godliness real in our lives. Chapter 42, if I may express myself this way, is a tour de force in the subject and the theme of Yiras Hashem, of awe of Hashem. It's a long chapter. After chapters 37 and 41, in that order, is the longest chapter in Tanya. So let's begin this perek inside. V'hine b'mashakos of la'el b'in yirat haton. Now, in light of everything that has been said above on the subject of the lower level of awe, summarized above, Yuvon Hetiv, we will understand clearly Mashanem Arbi Gemara, what it says in the Gemara, Al Posik on the Posik Va'at Yisrael Ma Hashem Alekecha Shayil Meimach Kiyim Liyiras Hashem Alekecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his parting words to his people, after recalling all of the tragedy, the strife, the crises, the rebellions, during the years in the deserts, all the revolts, the transgressions, the downfalls, he turns to the Jews in Parshas Ekev, Perek Yud, and he says, "Va'ata Yisrael ma Hashem alekecha shoyel mei machim liyiras Hashem alekecha." And now, Israel, what does Hashem ask of you? Only that you fear Hashem, your God. So the Gemara asks on this pasuk, "Atu yirim milse zutrusihi." Is fear of Hashem then such a small matter that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Va'ata Yisrael ma Hashem alekecha shoyel meimachkim liyirim"? Now, Israel, what is Hashem asking of you? Only that you should fear Him. What is it, such a small matter? The Gemara is in Brachas Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And the Gemara brings there Reb Chanina's statement that Hakel B'dei Shamayim Chutz Miyirah Shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for fear of heaven. Quoting this pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Gemara asks, is fear of heaven such a small matter? Reb Chanina said in the name of Reb Shimon ben Yechai that Hashem has nothing in His treasure house other than the store of fear of heaven. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Yiris Hashem hi Yitzrei. The fear of Hashem, that is His treasure. And the fear of Hashem is the only achievement that Hashem values sufficiently to store it in His treasure house. It's necessarily a great matter. But nonetheless, the Pasuk implies that it's quite a small matter. What does Hashem ask from you already, right? It sounds like I'm telling you, somebody tells their partner or their friend and so forth, what did I already ask from you? To be on time. What did I already ask from you? Just to take out the garbage? Just to buy the challah for Shabbos? It's a small thing. Now we know that developing a fear to Hashem, an awe of Hashem, is very complicated. It's not exactly the smallest, not exactly a small matter. It's very difficult. I once saw a story of a child who later grew up to become a great Hasidic master. And once he was walking with his father in Poland, and they passed a prison. The prison was, of course, surrounded by many fences, tall fences, barbed wire, gates. All the windows were sealed with gates and fences, etc. So he asked his father, what is this insulated, isolated, enclosed place? He said, this is a prison. And they don't want anybody should escape the prison because they're criminals and they have a punishment to serve. So that's why they surround it with gates. The child tells the father, what's the problem? Just don't put negelwasser by their bed in the morning so they won't be able to escape from the prison. If you don't wash your hands in the morning with water, you can't leave your bed, so nobody will go. So it's an innocent sensitivity and spirituality of a young child who indeed grew up to become a man who feared God. But we all know that it's not as simple as that. So that's the question of the Gemara. Atu yira milsa zutra sahi? Is yira such a small matter? So the Gemara answers in Brachis Lamed Gimel Ein. Yes. Legabi Moshe milsa zutra sahi v'chuli. From Moshe, who uttered this pasuk, fear of Hashem is a small thing, and so forth. The so forth refers to the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a parable of Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina said a parable that this situation is analogous to the case of a person from whom a large tinsel is demanded. And he has it available. So if he has it available, this utensil appears to him as though it was a small utensil, easy to acquire, because he has it. On the other hand, if you ask a person to borrow a small utensil, and he doesn't have it, daima alav kekli gadol, it appears to him like a large utensil that's hard to acquire, even though it's really small because he doesn't have it. So in any case, even though yira, or as a clay gadol, it's a large utensil, but since Moshe had it, he achieved it already, so for him it was considered a small utensil, and he describes it in terms of what is Hashem asking from you already, only to fear him. But the Alter Rebbe asks a question, the l'chaire ne'muvan atirutz. At first glance, the answer of the Gemara is incomprehensible. The Hashayil me'imachsiv. For the Pasuk asks, what does Hashem ask of you? Nisht from Moshe, right? Apparently the answer of the Gemara evades the question. Moshe's talking to the Jewish people, he's not talking to himself. He's addressing his people and he's saying, Va'at Yisrael, Ma Hashem Alekecha Shayil Meimach. Now, Israel, what is Hashem asking from you? Kiyim Liyiris Hashem, merely to fear Hashem. It's like a strong, powerful, muscular weightlifter. It turns to a 10-year-old child and says, "Come on, pick up 100 weights. What is it? What am I asking from you? Only to pick up 100 weights. For him, it may be nothing, but you're talking to a child. For the child, it's much bigger than that. So did Moshe not consider the state of his people? Was he insensitive to their condition, to their situation? The answer of the Gemara doesn't answer the question. Lagabi Moshe milsezutrasihi. Of course, for Moshe was a small thing, but he's talking to the Jewish people. Now, this question is asked by a few commentators. The Marsha, in his Chidushei Agadis, asks this question. The Maharal, in his Sefer Nesivos Olam Nesiv HaYira, asks this question. The Eitz Yosef, in his commentary on the in Yaakov and this Gemara, asks this question, and they all respond. They all give quite complicated and interesting answers. Here, the Alter Rebbe presents the Hasidic answer, which actually becomes a foundational doctrine in his teachings and in the teachings of Chassidus. Zog the Alter Rebbe, and the answer is Elah Inyanu. The explanation is Ki kol nefesh v'nefesh mebeis Yisrael yeshba mebchines Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom. Each and every soul of the house of Israel comprises within it something of the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu, peace be unto him. When the Gemara says Ein l'gabi Moshe milse zutrusihi, indeed, for Moshe it is a small thing, the Gemara doesn't mean for Moshe in and of himself. The Gemara means Legabe Moshe, viewing that which Moshe gave the Jewish people. When you consider the gift that Moshe gave the Jewish people, Legabe Ein Legabe Moshe, Legabe what Moshe gave the Jewish people, then you can say it's a small matter. In each and every Jew, the Alter Rebbe is saying, shines a ray of Moshe's flame. So the Gemara says, Legabe Moshe for Moshe. If I am to view the Moshe within the Jew, if I am to view the Moshe dimension within the Jew, I can indeed say that fear of Hashem is a small matter. If I were to view the Jew without the Moshe in him, detached from the Moshe in him, detached from the presence of Moshe, as if Moshe never existed, Moshe never gave him anything, just he on his own, then indeed you can't say, what does Hashem merely ask from you just to fear him? But if I'm taking into consideration Moshe, and that means what the gift that Moshe gave you and me, or more precisely, the part of Moshe that is embedded in my consciousness, then I can define the fear of Hashem as a small matter, as the Alter Rebbe will explain. No. The Alter, you're asking if this is an answer al pinigla. First of all, in the art scroll English Gemara, they ask this question and they say that it's explained in Likutei Amarim chapter 42. But that's more on an anecdotal level. You should know by now that one of the Alter Rebbe's chief contributions was to synthesize the two streams of Torah, the halachic and the mystical, into a unified system and a comprehensive program for life. So the answer given here, using Hasidic terminology, is totally consistent with Nigla, as will be evident from the continuation of this chapter. By the way, I once heard from the Rebbe something very interesting. It was Shabbos Ba'aloyscha Tavshin Nun Aleph, 1991. He was discussing then, it was the Shabbos before Chav Sivan, the 20th of Sivan. the Magen Avram writes in Siman Tav Kuf Pei, Nagul is Anes Bechal Malchus Poilin. In all of Poland, Jews would fast on the 20th of Sivan to commemorate the horrible massacre of 1648-1649, Gzeiris Tach V'Tat, that occurred in Poland. And that's why the fast day of Chaf Sivan was established. The Rebbe spoke then about the fact that many of the overlords of the Pritzim in Poland hired Jews as their executives or as people who would run their taverns, their inns, their kretschmas. And all the Jews had an identical name by all of the overlords. You know what the name was? Moshka. Moshka. Moshe. And the Rebbe said, and I recall he said that Afagav the Iulei Chazu Mazlayu Chazu. Even though the overlords, they themselves were unaware of it, but their spiritual source was aware of it. What the Alter Rebbe says in Tanyer, it's based on Kabbalah, Tikkun Zoyer, that there is a Moshe in every Jew. Every Yid is a little Moshe. Every Yid is a real Moshka. And what this means, that every Yid is a little Moshe, the Alter Rebbe will explain in the continuation of the chapter. So the Gabi Moshe, when you look at Moshe, and it doesn't only mean Moshe in and of himself. Moshe's existence, which includes his gift to the Yidden and his presence in the Yid, it becomes a milsa zutrasi. And Alter Rebbe explains, ki hu mishiva royim. Because Moshe is one of the seven shepherds. The seven shepherds. Now you want it to be consistent with Nigla. So I'll explain, what does he mean he's one of the seven shepherds? The concept of seven shepherds for Jews is mentioned the first time in Micha. In Micha, in Perikei, in Pasuk Dalet, the prophet describing the Messianic era says, "V'hayo zeshalom, this shall ensure peace during Mashiach's times. That Asher ki yavei ba'arzeinu v'chi yidrech ba'arminoiseinu v'hakeimoinu olav shiva royim v'shmoinu nesichei adam." If Assyria, the legendary enemy of the Jews and of Israel, will come into our land, and if it will tread upon our palaces, we will set up seven shepherds and eight princes. And that will ensure peace in the Holy Land. This is a verse in Micha. The Gemara in Sukkot, Afnan Beis Amid Beis, asks, Man ninu shiva royim, who are these seven shepherds? And the Gemara answers, Adam, Sheis, Mishushalach, David, Avram, Yaakov, and Moshe. So Moshe is one of the seven shepherds. Who are the eight princes? Yishai, the father of David, Shaul, Shmuel, Amos, Tzvanya, the two prophets, Amos and Tzvanya, the king Tzidkiah, or other versions, Chizkiah, and finally Eliyahu and Mashiach. Rashi in Sukkah writes, Le'yadaiti behem tam. I don't know the reason why these figures were singled out above everybody else. In Zohar, in a few places, it seems that there are other seven shepherds. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Adam, Aaron, David, and Shlomo. In one place in Zohar, a part of Zohar that's known as Tosfos, it's additional pieces of Zohar. This happens to be a Tosfos to Zohar Chadash. He writes clearly that Hashem created seven tzaddikim to sustain and illuminate the 7 days of creation. Each tzaddik invigorates and gives substance to one of the days of creation. And each tzaddik was planted in the generation that needed it. And those are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, which are generally considered the seven Ushpizen, the seven guests that visit our sukkahs during the 7 days of sukkahs, which is also a Zoharic concept. Parenthetically, the Alter Rebbe writes in Torah last week, Parshas Miketz, that the seven shepherds correspond to seven branched candelabra of the Beis HaMikdash, and the eight princes correspond to eight branched candelabra of Chanukah. In any case, what is the function of these shepherds? Now, on the most basic level, if you look in Micha there, it's to save the Jewish people from a possible onslaught from Assyria. But as it's well understood in Zohar and from a deeper perspective, these seven personalities are defined as the Jewish shepherds for the entire of history. for the totality of Jewish history. These personalities live on in a way eternally in every Jewish soul. And what is their purpose? Zog Dal Terebbe, HaMamashich, Imchayiz, Ve'elokus, L'klolus, Neshamas Yisrael. These seven shepherds draw forth vitality and godliness to the community of the souls of the Jewish people. Shalachein Yikroyim B'Shem Rayim, for which reason they are called shepherds, because just as a shepherd provides nourishment for his sheep, thereby supplying them with vitality, so too the seven shepherds sustain Jewish souls and they grant them chayus ve'alakus, as he put it, vitality and godliness. We're doing a lot of parenthetical notes here, so I'll give you another one. Among Hasidim, there's a tradition that here is one of the places where the Alter Rebbe spent a few weeks to decide whether to write a word with a vav or without a vav. I mentioned to you a famous story in connection with the opening lines of chapter 41, where he writes, Reishis ha'avayde v'ikra v'sharsha, and he could have deleted the vav from v'ikra. Here too, the Alter Rebbe was seriously debating in his mind whether to write HaMamshichim Chayus Elikus. The shepherds draw forth godly vitality, but he chose, as we see, to put a Navav and to write HaMamshichim Chayus Velikus. The seven shepherds draw forth vitality and godliness. The first thing they give the Jews is vitality, animation, energy. In addition to that, they give them godliness. Now, the explanation in this, what would be the difference between the two? A very profound one. We'll deal with, God willing, next week as we continue the chapter. I think it will become clear. But this is the role of the seven shepherds. Zagdal Terebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, peace be unto him, who klalus kulam, comprises them all. And he's called the faithful shepherd. In Zayar, he's very often defined as the faithful shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's the quintessential shepherd, the faithful shepherd. Even in Pasuk, in Parashas Ba'aloscha, Hashem says, Loichein avdi, Moshe b'chal beisi nemanu. My servant Moshe is different. He is trusted in my home. It's interesting, in Yerushalmi, in Sanhedrin, in Perek Yud, there's an expression, Ein roye ela Moshe. We talk about a shepherd, the only shepherd is Moshe. So the Alter Rebbe says he's the quintessential shepherd. And the reason for this is the unique element that Moshe grants the Jewish people, that Moshe shepherds the Jewish people with, which makes him the faithful shepherd and the one who comprises all of the shepherds, the Hainu, this means, Shemamshich b'chinas hadas l'klolus Yisrael. Moshe draws down the quality of das, of awareness, to the community of the Jewish people. Leida Hashem, that they may know and be cognizant of Hashem's reality. Kol echad, each Jew, kefi asagas nishmasi v'shar shalomayla, according to the intellectual capacity of his soul. And its root above the source of the soul in the spiritual world. And according to the degree of the soul's nurture, from the root of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hamushresh es bedas ha'elyon shebiyut sviris datzilus, which Moshe Rabbeinu's soul is rooted in the Das Elyon, in the supernal knowledge of the 10 spheres of Atzilus, of the 10 divine emanations of the highest world of intimacy, HaMiyuchad Eis B'Matzilon Baruch Hu, which these emanations are united with their emanator, Shehu V'Dai Teyechad, for he and his knowledge are one, for Hu Hamad Chuli, and he is the knowledge, etc. The Alter Rebbe is referring here to the famous definition of the Rambam, in Hilchis Yisodei HaTorah, in Hilchis Tshuva, quoted at length in chapter 2 of Tanya, concerning Hashem's knowledge, so to speak. Unlike a person's knowledge, where in a human being there is the knower, there is the soul of man who knows, there is the faculty of knowledge, our cognitive faculty. And then finally, there is the subject that is known, the concept that you integrate into your mind, into your faculty of cognizance. And these are three distinct and separated entities. By Hashem, the Rambam says, Hu amada, v'hu ayedeya, v'hu ayedua. He is the power of knowledge, the mind, so to speak. He is the knower, and he is that which is known. It's all one. Hu v'dayte yechad. He and his knowledge and that which is known are all one. So this is what Alter Rebbe is saying. That the source of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul is in Das Ha'Elyon, is in the higher Das. Hashem's inner, Hashem's Das, which is one of the 10 spheres, the 10 emanations of the world of Atzilus, and that Das, like all the spheres in Atzilus, is one with Hashem. And based on the degree of how much each and every Jewish soul receives nurture from Moshe Rabbeinu's soul, that will be the degree of the Das of this Jew, of the awareness of this Jew in Hashem. Yes. Obviously, you say Moshe Rabbeinu epitomized at this level of Das, and Moshe is a shepherd who gives this quality into every Jew, each according to his soul, his comprehension, and his according to the degree of his nurture from Moshe Rabbeinu's soul, which is rooted in the supernal level of Das. This, the source for this is in Likutei Torah of the Arizal Parshas Balak. There the Arizal explains how Moshe Rabbeinu is the counterpart of Bilam. What Moshe is in holiness, Bilam is in unholiness. About Bilam we say, Yodeya Das Elyon. Moshe Rabbeinu was Das of Gedusha, the highest form of Das. His soul was rooted, was molded, was crafted in Das of Atzilus, in the third intellectual sphere, divine emanation of the highest world, which is one with Hashem.
So he was Das?
Yes.
He was that sphere in a sense.
Yes, that's where, that was Alter Rebbe, that's where his soul came from. That's a good question. Why is that relevant here? Why is it relevant here? First of all, to explain, to give Moshe Rabbeinu smicha. To authenticate that, you know, his source of Das. And not only that, we wouldn't believe him. I mean, he could say Moshe Rabbeinu gives Das. Not only that, he has to call the Rambam. Hu amada v'hu ayedeya. Why is that relevant? Hu v'dayta yechad. This is a very good question, yes. Yes. You're asking, is the role of the seven shepherds that everybody receives from them? Yeah, they are like shepherds who shepherd the flock. We are all considered flock, and they live in the collective consciousness and individual consciousness of the Jew, shepherding each Jew and granting him a certain spiritual dosage. And Moshe is gives Das, as the Alter Rebbe will explain what that means.
If you were a shepherd as someone who gives help when needed, but here he's explaining that it's more than that. They actually are the
right, 100%.
Progenitor of
certain qualities.
Qualities of life.
They are, it's not just, you're right, it's not just like a shepherd who's called for at a moment of danger, but like a shepherd who day in, day out, spends time with his sheep, nourishes his sheep, and is the progenitor and the conduit for nourishment of the sheep. And Moshe Rabbeinu's unique contribution is the element of Das, and what that means, the Alter Rebbe will explain in the continuation of the chapter, and we'll deal with it at length next week and answer your question as well. Have a good night and a wonderful week.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.